This is the Voice of Freedom. To the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I'm going to read a few things here, and then I'm going to open the phone, so get ready to call with your comments, whatever they happen to be, and we'll make a good evening of it. I've got some real strange things have been happening, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to tell you. This last weekend, I spent a good portion of the night up with our little puppy, Pitsu, who must have eaten something because she came down pretty sick. I mean, really sick. I thought she was going to die for a while. And so I stayed up with her and gave her a lot of love and let her know that she wasn't alone and tried to get her to eat and drink, and she had a tremendous, just a terrible diarrhea and was throwing up everything that went down and wouldn't drink and wouldn't eat. And for a puppy, that's a sure death if you can't reverse that really quick. So as fast as she was up chucking it and as fast as the diarrhea would take care at the other end, I was stuffing it down her throat. I think sometime late Sunday night or early Monday morning, I don't remember exactly what time it was because I was so tired I was out of it, she started acting normal and playing, and she still wasn't eating right, but she was at least starting to come around. And then yesterday she acted just like a normal puppy and ate and drank and everything, and today all signs of her illness are gone. And I can't even remember doing last night's broadcast. That's how tired I was, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, spending hours and hours and hours on the website. And by the way, as soon as this broadcast is over, I'm going to be uploading some new pages to the website that are just fantastic. And I think you're going to I think this website is going to be a place where a lot of people are going to be spending a lot of their time. So if you could help us advertise it across the web, tell people about it, and steer them our way. We don't need that, really, but I want everybody who needs to know this information or wants to know this information to be able to get it. We're getting a lot of traffic on the website. I think a lot of it is just looky-loos or people surfing through the Internet or picked us out from a search on some search engine somewhere. But yesterday we had over 5,000 hits on the homepage, and that's just absolutely incredible. Beyond my wildest dreams, I don't even know how this has happened. But if you doubt my word, you can go to the website and hit on hits on the homepage. It'll take you to the stats page, which, by the way, is accumulated by a third party whom we have contracted to do this for us. They have no interest in making phony figures. I can't do it because I don't have access to alter the page, and neither does anybody else. So, you know, at first I thought, you know, maybe this is a big mistake. I mean, we're just getting so many hits, it's pathetic. But then, you know what I did, folks? I did a search on my name on four different search engines, and I got hits like you wouldn't believe on my name. So there are an awful lot of people out there interested in me and what I do, and so maybe it's not, you know, so out of line as I first thought it was. I was just utterly shocked at the traffic that was coming to our webpage after our first announcement on the air, but apparently a lot of you spread the word around, and some of you added us to search engines because I didn't do it, and we're there. And I added us to some search engines, and so yesterday was the biggest hit day we've ever had. Actually, it was yesterday, over 5,000 hits. Incidentally, it followed my guest appearance on the Alan Handelman East Coast Live rock and roll show for over 2 hours on Sunday night, where we gave out the webpage address. And so I think that's one of the major causes of yesterday's super hit day. Before that, our biggest day was 2,800 hits, and that was on a Sunday, I believe. It might have been on a Monday, but it was, you know, right around in that time period. So right after this broadcast is over, I'm going to be putting a whole bunch of pages on there that you've never seen before that are just chock full of stuff that's going to blow your mind. And you're going to... You're really going to be actively checking into this stuff for quite some time. I'm going to keep you busy on that webpage. It's keeping me busy, so I figured it might as well keep you busy, too. There's a few things going on, and I'm going to get to some of them in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back after this short pause.
Take me for a ride. Well, you know the thing. I've been running through all these promises to you that I made and I could not keep. I put a man's nipples out of a woman's ass, not by thinking on you. But I crawl to you, baby, and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I claw at your heart, and I tear at your feet. I say, please, don't be no pain.
Oh, I'm back, folks. I had to, you know, I forgot before I started the broadcast to get a big jug of water. Because when you talk for an hour, you get thirsty, your throat gets dry, you've got to be able to have some water here. So that's why the opening number went so long. Usually I don't do it that long, but that's why. Got some few things to talk about. Number one, I was sort of surfing around on the internet the other day looking for specific subject matter and came across overseas brats. And that rang a bell in my head because that's what I was. I was an Air Force brat. That's what we called ourselves. That's what the world called us. We were children of government officials and members of the armed forces of the United States of America who lived and went to school in foreign countries. And I saw that and I just stopped. I froze and I just felt this incredible emotion because I have never in my entire life since I left high school heard from any of the people that I ever went to school with in my life. I have never seen one of them ever. I have never seen their name in a newspaper or on the news. I have never read a book that any of them wrote. I have never heard of any of them at all. And suddenly, there I was with overseas brats, and it sort of took me back. So I went to that webpage, and I looked around, and it's a magazine for children who, children of, you know, the people I just told you about. Me. And so I figured out how to subscribe to it, and I sent that off. And then I noticed there was a page of links. So I went to the links page, and there was a database of classmates, or, you know, database of names of people who went to certain schools. And I went through there, and I found my one of my high schools in Japan. I went to two high schools in Japan. One was Narumasu at Grant Heights, near the Japanese city of Narumasu, and the other one was Yamato High School, where I actually graduated, and that was at Yamato Air Station near Tachikawa, Japan. And so I went down and I looked through for Yamato, and I couldn't find anything for Yamato, and I went to Narumasu, and I found Narumasu, and I was looking through all this, and then a name just leaped out and smacked me in the face, and I felt this incredible feeling in my stomach, and my heart was pounding, and there was one of my best friends ever in high school had left a message looking for classmates. His name is Mike Gogi. And so, you know, I was with great nervousness and a lot of emotion and memories welling up. I sent him an email message, which he promptly answered a couple of hours later, or he might have answered sooner. I didn't check my email until a couple of hours later, and he gave me his phone number, and then I sent him back his phone number. So far, we haven't made connection on the phone, but we've made connection on the internet. And I want to tell you that that was a tremendously overwhelming feeling for me, you see, because I've never had a hometown. Overseas brats, military brats, don't have hometowns, and that's one of the great vacuums in my life, is there's no place in this world where I can go and look at my old school or see the the river where we used to swing from a tree and jump in the water or any of those things, because there is no place like that. There's a whole bunch of places like that all across oceans in other countries, far, far from these shores, that cost lots and lots of money to get to. And takes lots of time to do it. And I don't have any of those. I don't have either the money or the time. There is no place where I can go and say I went to school there in the 8th grade, and I went to school over here in the 9th grade, and I went to school there in the 4th grade, and oh, there's Miss Jones coming down the street. My, how she's aged. There just isn't any place like that for me, folks. And a lot of the places where I went to school just no longer exist. I mean, the cities are there and stuff, but the schools are gone. A lot of the military bases have been closed up. And all the people that I knew and that my parents knew and that we associated with have all scattered to the four winds, and who knows where they are. I've never seen any of them ever. And it just, at times, you know, was an overwhelming burden, because everyone needs a home, a place you can call home that you can go to. I've never really had that. Maybe that's why I'm so dedicated to the United States of America, because the whole country has become my home, my only home, really, is this nation. And, the tremendous surge of emotion was just overpowering. I had no idea that that would happen. And, I remembered things that I had not remembered at all, in fact, since leaving high school. And I really look forward to speaking to Mike on the phone. In fact, I can't wait. I don't know when that's going to happen. When I've called, he hasn't been there. And maybe when he's called, I haven't been here. Or maybe he's been busy, or maybe he's on a trip or something. I don't know. But that's just something that's recently happened in my life that I wanted to share with you, because it was such a tremendous happening for me. And I'm one of those few people that just sort of, in their youth, as far as hometowns go, got lost in the shuffle, because my father had a job that required that we move. You know, sometimes we'd be in one place only 6 months and we'd move. Sometimes it was a year. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 years, but never, ever more than 3 years were we ever in any one place, usually less, gotta tell you. So, be that as it may. I want to read you this article from the local Apache County Observer, because it's scary. And I have three dogs. One is a little puppy, and two small children, one 2 years old and one 7 years old. And, of course, you all know about Annie, my wife. And so this is terrifying, because in the face of something like this, there's absolutely nothing that you can do. Unlike the man whom I'm going to tell you his story here, most of us aren't running around with sprayers full of insecticide. And this is becoming quite a problem, ladies and gentlemen. It is no longer defined to Africa or South America. The bees, the African killer bees, are here. And they are terrifying. Let me read you this story. This happened only 50 miles from where I live. Only 50 miles from where I live, this happened. And it just happened, ladies and gentlemen. Several thousand bees swarmed and killed a 1,300-pound horse and repeatedly stung an employee of the Timberline Ranch early on the morning of August the 29th. Ted Abrams, who was shoeing the horse at the time of the bee attack, sustained more than 20 stings. This latest bee attack comes just days after a beekeeper, two dogs, and five other people were attacked in Snowflake, Arizona. In addition, other Snowflake and Taylor residents have also been stung by aggressive bees in the past few weeks. This horse incident occurred in Vernon, Arizona, which actually, folks, is only about 20 miles from here. According to Abrams, at about 8:30 a.m., a swarm of bees came out of a wall in the barn he was working in and attacked the horse, completely covering its underbelly and hindquarters. The horse went to kicking, so I dropped his foot to see what was the matter with him. That is when I saw that bees were swarming underneath him, on his legs, and completely covering his head, said Abrams. When Abrams stepped away from the horse, he noticed he had bees all over his arms and ran to his truck, which was parked about 10 feet away. When the bees started after me, I ran and jumped in my truck and killed the bees that made it inside with me, said Abrams. I think that if I wouldn't have run when I did, they would have gotten me, so I consider myself fortunate. If I had been stung half as many times as the horse, I would have been dead within minutes. From the cab of his truck, Abrams could only watch the grisly scene of the bee attack unfold. Within minutes, the horse had a cloud of 1,500 to over 2,000 bees on it, completely covering its head, all down the neck and the belly and rump. I've never seen anything so violent in all my life to happen so rapidly, said Abrams. Typically, bees only attack when provoked. So when the horse ran out of the barn and to a nearby hill, Abrams thought the bees would return to the hive. Not so. The bees followed the horse and continued to attack and sting it repeatedly. Abrams drove up to the hill in his pickup and from the cab sprayed the horse with a 10-foot stream of insecticide to chase the bees off. I did the best I could. I got a lot of the bees off his head before he took off again, said Abrams. This time the bees left him alone. But by then, it was too late for the horse. Abrams estimated that horse was probably stung over 1,000 times, dying 2 hours later. Let me turn to the page where this continues. They got in his mouth, up his nose, and even down into his lungs, said Abrams. He was stung so many times, blood was just pouring out of his nose. It was a horrible, horrible death. Exterminators from Sholo were called to the ranch, and they removed a hive from the wall of the barn. There was a knot hole, and the bees got inside the wall and built a hive there, said Abrams. Just days later, Abrams saw more bees in the same barn. I got all the horses and animals out of there and over to another barn, said Abrams. Exterminators were called to the ranch again. This time, they found 3 hives. The swarms were all in the same wall, just in different locations, said Abrams. The bees' aggressiveness and body shape has led Abrams to wonder if the bees are part of the African bee stream. The exterminator sent samples of all 4 hives to the Department of Agriculture to be tested. We still don't know whether they were honeybees or Africanized, but as violent as they were, I wouldn't want to guess, said Abrams. Abrams says despite repeated calls, he still hasn't been able to get an answer back as to what type of bees they were, and that he is extremely frustrated. With all the barns in the area, we should know because of the danger it represents. I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, they are Africanized bees. They've been working themselves up from South America, where some idiot took them from Africa in order to try to hybridize a South American honeybee to produce more honey. And it created a strain of killer bees, African killer bees, which have been working their way up from South America through the Central American countries up into South Texas, and now they are as far north as Arizona, and we are in central Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Vernon is only 20 miles from here. Snowflake and Taylor are about 50 as the crow flies, maybe a little more driving because you have to make a head toward Sholo and then a 90-degree turn south to get there. So this is of great concern to me. What do you do when this happens? How do you protect your children from something like this? How do you protect your pets, your animals, your horses? This was a 1,300-pound horse killed by bees. Normal American honeybees don't do things like that, folks. They might swarm and come after you if they feel that you're threatening their hive and sting you a few times, but once you run away and get away from them, they go back and they leave you alone. These bees would not do it until they were covered with insecticide from this man in his pickup truck, who luckily had a sprayer full of insecticide to spray on them. This is terrifying. Literally terrifying. Could you imagine walking through the woods or going into a barn or walking by the side of your house and all of a sudden a swarm of bees come out and cover your two-year-old child from head to foot? And you hear her screaming and hollering, and then you begin to be attacked and stung. What in the world can you do in the face of such a thing from the forces of nature? And that's exactly what it is. I mean, that just literally, to even think about it, is terrifying. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what I could even do if that happened. You couldn't kill bees fast enough to save the life of your child, and in the process, you would probably be killed yourself. I can't remember ever being in an instance in Vietnam, and I was in combat almost every night on the river, ladies and gentlemen. I can't remember one instance of ever being terrified like the just the thought of this brings into my mind. So I just wondered, has anything like this happened in your area? Are these bees becoming more widespread than we thought? Because nobody had any idea in the state of Arizona that they were even in Arizona, much less as far north as central Arizona. And if they're in central Arizona, I can assure you they're probably in New Mexico and who knows where else. This is truly a real problem that has to be dealt with. So, I'm going to play some music here, then I'm going to open the phones, and then I'd like to hear if you have anything like this happening in your area, because this is not on the national news. And the reason they won't tell anybody what strain of bees these are is they don't want to cause a panic. That's exactly why they're doing it, or I should say, why they're not doing it. And there is no mention of any of this. I mean, this should have been on the nightly news with Dan Rather Not, but that's why we call him Dan Rather Not, because it'll never be there. And the whole country should know about the danger of this, and we should be prepared to do something about it. And we should be looking for these bees and tracking them down and exterminating them, because they're going to kill some children sooner or later and some adults. This is really a bad problem. And it is something that if we start a campaign to do something about it beforehand, we can save some lives, maybe. I mean, that's just absolutely mind-boggling. I can imagine the terror that man felt as he ran for his pickup truck, and the sense of helplessness that he felt as he watched his horse being taken down by bees. Amazing. So I'm going to play some music here, and I'll be right back, and we'll talk about this or anything that you want to talk about. I don't care what it is, but I would appreciate it if anything like this has happened in your area. I would like to know about it, and I think the whole country needs to know about it. So listen very carefully to this, ladies and gentlemen, because remember I told you a long time ago, Art Bell is a Freemason. Well, here it is. Listen carefully.
Bill Cooper, this is Horst from Fresno. I met you in Porterville. Have some interesting information here. There's no way to document it. I can just tell you what I heard. But on September 4th, 1997 at 2:46 a.m. I was listening to the Art Bell program, and at that time, an older gentleman called in and stated to Art, quote, "I hear you are a Mason," unquote. Art's reply was, "Yes, that's true." The older gentleman asked, "How long have you been a Mason?" Art's reply, quote, "We're not going to talk about it here," unquote. The older gentleman's reply was, quote, "I have been a Mason for 16 years now." Then the older gentleman went on to talk about something else, flying saucers or something. On the replay last Saturday morning, that would be September 7th, the same show, it was a Saturday morning, the older gentleman's call was not aired. I found it interesting. They went to a total, they shifted to a total different topic from another night for that period that the older gentleman was talking about Art being a Mason. Anyway, Art Bell tries to play dumb on the Masonic thing, pretending he doesn't know anything about secret clubs. He said, Don McElvaney and other people on there. I always thought he was just an ego-stricken talk show host. I used to listen to him years ago. However, the game is over with. He's just a puppet playing the Masonic New World Order things. And he, like Rush Limbaugh says, he doesn't believe in half the guests that he has on his program. Anyway, Mr. Bell has been caught. I've listened very careful. I've always been kind of amazed how he tries to play this little boy innocence excitement. Oh, I just can't wait till the OJ trial starts and all that crap. But anyway, this older gentleman caught him, and I believe it was innocent. But you were right again.
Busted! Art B.S. Bell has been busted! If anybody takes that broadcast, the early morning of September the 4th, it would have been the early morning of September the 4th. If any of you takes that broadcast, I would sure love to have a copy, and don't even mind paying for it, folks, or something like that. I'll gladly pay for it. Don't bother ordering a copy from Art Bell, because on the Saturday morning rerun of that same broadcast, that particular conversation had already been scrubbed, and you will not find it on a tape that you order from Art Bell. He's one of those chronic deceivers that we always talk about on this broadcast. And I warned you about him so many times, it's pathetic. He's leading you down the primrose path, like I've always said that he is, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, this is the only tape of a witness that we have that heard that, but I received two other calls from two other people who also heard the same broadcast and the same conversation, who were just absolutely amazed that they had heard it, because they always doubted that I had been telling them the truth about Art Bell's Masonic affiliations. So, if you taped the Art Bell Show in the early morning hours of September the 4th, please make a copy and send it to me. If you want some money for it, call me up and we'll negotiate it. But I want a copy of that tape. I would like to play it to you in his own voice. I don't listen to Art Bell, so I didn't hear it. And of course, I didn't take it. We're going to open the phone now. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. So you can call in, and if you've had any of those bee attacks in your area, I want to know about it. Or you can just, we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. That's okay with me. Rush Limbaugh also is a Freemason, ladies and gentlemen. We suspected it, but we weren't sure. We knew that his uncle, the judge, was a Freemason. And it wasn't until he started his television show that we had absolute confirmation, and we have recordings of that. On the bookcase behind him, ladies and gentlemen, was the square and compass and the Masonic emblem. I guess he thought we were so stupid he could get away with that. And as soon as he found out that everybody knew exactly what that meant, that little compass and square Masonic emblem disappeared from his bookcase. It's never reappeared, and he never has made mention of it. When the subject comes up, he sort of skirts around it. He won't lie like so many others do. At least that's to his credit. He just skirts around it and won't answer directly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Question. A little bit change of gears. Can I ask you about the moon book? What am I trying to say?
NASA Mooned America?
Yeah.
By Renee?
Have you ever interviewed the author?
Yes, he was a guest on this broadcast.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
You would be amazed what we've aired on this broadcast over the last almost 6 years now that we've been broadcasting.
I was fascinated with the book, and I was dying to hear the one thing I was going to ask about the author. Did he include a last name? It seems like just Renee.
Well, that is his last name.
That is his last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
His first name he doesn't like, so he leaves it off.
Gotcha. Okay, well,
it's sort of my first name. I don't like it either, and never use it. I use my middle name instead.
Oh. Okay. Well, I wish you.
333-4578 is the number, folks. And if you've had any of these bee attacks in your area, or you've read any articles about it in your local newspapers, I want to know about it. I want to know how far these things have gone that we don't know about and nobody's telling us about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, can you speak? Right into it and talk louder, please.
Hi. On the bees, we haven't had any problem with the killer bees yet, but we have apiary of about 50 hives, and within the last few years, we've lost, I believe, all of those, and found it very difficult to even find honeybees around in this area now. There are some. I know some other keepers that have had some success with keeping bees, but generally speaking, the honeybees are almost a thing of the past here in Indiana.
Why is that?
Because of the tracheal mite, they claim, and maybe one other problem, I'm not sure what that is, but the tracheal mite, I think, was the thing that took most of them out of this area.
Tracheal mite?
Yep.
Hmm. Well, I've heard that. In fact, I've been hearing that for the last year, that honeybees are getting scarce and that for some reason they're dying. But I haven't heard that from beekeepers around here, and I've noticed there are quite a few hives. You know, when I drive around, I see the white hives in the fields.
Yes.
And during our travels, we stop, and there seems to be no shortage of honey anywhere. Honey is available in large quantities and at reasonable prices everywhere that I've been.
Yeah, I think in other areas of the country, the bees are still doing well. And, of course, a lot of the honey, the commercial honey, is imported from some foreign country like they're doing everything else with.
Oh, we never.
I had looked at your webpage and found the area around your low power micro stations and pulled off some information there that I think would be a great help to them. And I wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate having that available.
Great. What do you think about the website overall?
Oh, generally, yes. I'm anxious to see some of those others get filled up. You're working on that, I know, but I'll be watching that about every day.
We haven't even begun yet, and it's already twice as big as most of the biggest sites on the web.
Yeah, fantastic, and I really appreciate your ability to pull that information off on the micro stations, especially some of those studies that you guys have put together.
Well, there's going to be a lot more.
Kind of help us keep ourselves cleaned up on that area.
Yeah.
Very good. That's what I had, Maya. Thank you again for your program, Bill.
Okay. Don't forget to check the web later tonight or in the morning, because right after this broadcast, I'm going to be adding a whole bunch of stuff.
I will.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. I want to know if you've had any of these bee attacks in your area. If you've been to the website, I need to know what you think about the website. Or we can talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. I don't care. I got time here. About 20 minutes worth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm curious as to the name of the album that you were playing.
I need you to put your mouth right in front of your telephone and talk real loud.
Okay, the name of the album that you had on at the beginning of the broadcast?
Uh-huh.
Did I get the name of that?
It's Cohen Live. Cohen Live, Leonard Cohen in Concert.
Leonard Cohen in Concert.
Uh-huh. It's actually called Cohen Live.
Cohen Live.
It's Leonard Cohen in Concert, but the name of the CD is Cohen Live.
Cohen Live. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Now, Leonard Cohen has done some great stuff. He's also a socialist, and he also does some songs I like to play when I'm revealing socialism. Because he talks about what he believes in his songs. And so I use his music a lot, quite often, as a matter of fact. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you had any bee attacks in your area, if you have, tell me about it. I want to know about it. If you've been to the website, let me know what you think about the website. Whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. Got a few minutes here to kill, ladies and gentlemen. And if the bees don't kill them, I was hoping that one of you would kill those few minutes. So give me a call at 520-333-4578, and let's discuss whatever it is that you want to discuss. Well, sorry, folks. Good night. God bless you all. I'm going to bed. If you can't participate, then you don't deserve this show.
Once a lonely caterpillar sat and cried to a sympathetic beetle by his side. I've...